Les colloques du Collège de France.
So, thank you for the opportunity to participate in this conference. Here we go. This paper, per your question, is part of a broader research agenda about understanding the organizational and locational drivers of the inventor gender gap. This is a new research area I've been working on in the last 5 years with the help of a National Science Foundation grant. So I'm one of the observations that Ben Jones described yesterday, these researchers that are pivoting into new areas, and we learn that you could have a penalty, but to compensate for that, you can compensate for that with a good team. So I have a very good team. You can see there Fiona Murray at MIT, very much an incredible gender scholar. And for this particular paper that I'm going to present today, I have a wonderful co-author, Luca Yuz. He's a PhD candidate at MIT, Sloan, and he's working on the intersection of entrepreneurship and AI. All the errors are my own, so he's a fantastic co-author. The motivation is easy, right? Unfortunately, there is a very large and persistent inventor gender gap. Even when you look at very recent patents in the US, 2020, only 11% of all the inventors are women. Only 9% of the patents are generated by women. And this gender gap is very persistent. It will take a very long time, more than 100 years, to get parity in the best of them, the female share of new inventors. It's happening across countries. And what we know is that a lot of the policy narrative has been about we don't have enough women with STEM skills. However, this is not simply a STEM skill problem. The large number of missing female inventors is because we are underutilizing highly skilled STEM talent. For example, the female share of STEM PhDs is much higher, 36%, right? In prior work, I have looked at different drivers of these missing female inventors, including the role of universities, the role of advisors. But today, I'm going to get closer to some of my prior research on the geography of innovation. And I'm going to be looking at, together with Luca, the role of location. We're going to ask, are women, female inventors, geographically constrained, meaning that they travel less? And if so, is this going to affect the geography of their teams? And could this also be affecting the quantity of their patenting? And I'm going to try to conclude with some implications for the work from anywhere debate that is so prominent these days. So we know that employed mothers spend 50% more time taking care of children than the fathers. There is also large evidence that women are geographically constrained in their jobs, and meaning that they have higher costs of traveling, in part associated with a mother preferences for a flexible work hours due to family responsibilities. And we know the great work that Claudia Goldin has done on this topic. There is a lot of evidence that women travel less. They have shorter distance work trips. They also are willing to accept lower wages in exchange for shorter commuting to work. And if so, if we have plenty of evidence that women are geographically constrained relative to men, then what we're going to suggest is that they will rely more on the geographical proximity of co-inventors in order to innovate. And these are the hypotheses that we're going to look at. Women will be more co-located with the team of co-inventors than men, especially when they have family obligations. We don't observe whether they are mothers, so we're going to proxy for that using age. We're also going to look at that whether or not team collocation is greater in industry clusters, and if so, females will be more likely to locate in clusters in order to compensate for the geographical frictions. And finally, there may be costs associated with participating in these multi-city teams. And we argue that these costs are going to be greater for women, given these frictions, so they may be more likely to exit patenting if they're engaging in this more dispersed team. Now, why do we care about team collocation of inventors? Let me first clarify our setting is going to be patents in the last two decades, from 2000 to 2020, US patents granted to organizations, and we're going to look at patents where all the inventors are in the US, because we're interested in these US networks, so we only drop 6% of the patents, okay? And what we know from prior work is that teams are increasingly important. That's the work of Benjamin and Co-Authors, and in part due to the burden of knowledge. And you can see it already here in the last two decades, there is a large increase in the percentage of multi-inventor patents. By 2020, 75% of all the patents are team patents. But what is also is happening is that there is an increase in the share of patents that are multi-city. So you can see that by 2020, 50% of all the patents that have more than one inventor are multi-city. And also, during this time period, the average distance between inventors is increasing by 100 kilometers. Think of that as 2 hours drive. All right, so a lot of dispersion happening. Now, what we argue conceptually is that there may be gender differences in the ability of women to participate in these multi-location patents. And why is that? Well, we know that innovation is facilitated by geographical proximity through the collocation of inventors in the same city and often in industry cluster. And the reason this proximity is important is because better access to between firm knowledge, all the great work in terms of between firm spillovers by Adam Jaffe and Manuel Trajanberg that we learned this morning has been highly influenced by the work of Grillikas. But also, when you are proximate, collocated, you are going to have also better access to within firm knowledge. So think about the same facilities of the firm nearby to each other, internal agglomerations. And I myself, Juan Alcacer, Adam Jaffe have done work on this. There is also evidence that patents with co-inventors that are collocated in the same city tend to be more disruptive. So we know this proximity is important. So then, how can a multi-location team mitigate distance? There is two ways to do that. Using information and communication technology, we know the work, for example, of Teresa Ford, how you can use that to break the value chain of firms across location, but that's very hard to do. And in fact, you still are going to need face-to-face interaction, both to do academic research, but also to innovate. So what you really need to facilitate that face-to-face interaction when you have distant teams is this concept of temporary geographical proximity by traveling. And this is not new. This is very important in the economic of geography literature, in particular the work by Peter Maskells and others talking about these temporary clusters, going to conferences, going to fairs to make sure we collocate. Because women are geographically constrained, think of them as being anchored in places, they're going to rely more on team collocation, so permanent proximity, versus temporary geographical proximity by traveling. This could reduce potentially the quantity of patents that women create because they may have less access to multi-city patents. It could also reduce the number of gender-diverse teams, and that can affect the quality of the patent, but also the direction of innovation, as we know from prior work. Now, how we test this? We're going to test this at the inventor patent team level. We're going to use three indicators of collocation. The first one is the obvious one. Are the inventors in the same city? All right, very simple. But when you have teams of three or more inventors, there could be variation for each focal inventor in the degree of collocation with the rest of the team. So we are going to introduce this novel indicator that is accounting for that. For example, if you have three inventors, one alone and two collocated, the one alone has 0% collocation, the two in the same city have 50% collocation each. And then the third one is a well-known one, is the average distance between the inventors in a team in kilometers. I'm going to focus mostly on the second one, but all the results I'm going to show you hold for each of these three alternative measures of proximity between inventors. The model is very simple. A team collocation as a function of gender, team size, we're going to control for issue year of the patent, the technology class fixed effects, the location of the inventor, and then organization fixed effects, all right? Now, what do we learn? As I mentioned earlier, female inventors have higher collocation with the team than males. For example, the probability of a female inventor to be in a single city patent is 2 percentage points higher than the male inventors when we don't control for organization fixed effect. Once we control for the firm, the degree, this gap in gender collocation declines a little bit and it's going to be 1 percentage point. The same thing happened when we look at the share of collocation with the team. So basically what this is telling us is not only that female inventors are more collocated with the team, but also the fact that when we include organization fixed effect, the gap declines means that these female inventors are sorting into firms where it's easier to collocate. It's easier to work with nearby inventors. This could be smaller firms. This could be firms that have a single location and so on. We have the same finding when we look at the first patent versus non-first patent. So this is not about learning to patent. When I interact the female inventor variable with the issue year here to see a little bit the trends over time, what we learn is that for both the female and the male inventors, team collocation declines over time by 4 percentage points. And this is perhaps, not surprisingly, this is facilitated by information and communication technology, by reduced travel time, so we're not surprised about that. But what you can also see is that the gender gap in collocation is persistent. So these geographical frictions don't seem to be solved with the current information and communication technology that we have. We then ask, how does team collocation relate to the age of the inventor? Because we're going to use age to try to infer the probability of whether or not you have family considerations. So we're going to introduce the age at filing the patent, and also we're going to interact the gender with the age. Age at filing is sourced from fantastic work and data set created by Adam Jaffe and co-authors, so thank you for that. And in our sample, the mean age at filing is going to be 44. We also know from the MBR natality birth data that the age of first-time mothers that have a master or a PhD is 32, so that's what we're going to use for the cutoff, or low versus high probability of having family considerations. Oh, so that changed a little, looks better on my slides, okay? But basically, I want you to focus on the interaction between age and at filing and female inventor, and you can see that that interaction is a positive and significant, meaning that this positive gap in collocation between the male, female and the male inventor increases with age, which is consistent with as women have family obligations, they are forced to be more collocated to work with nearby inventors. To see this better, what we do now is that we're going to break the age variable into 9 bins. And what it was very surprising to us to find is actually when women are young, less than 32 years old, low probability of having family considerations, that actually less collocated than the male inventors. Their team are more dispersed. It's only after, when they have these family considerations, that they are going to become significantly more collocated with the team. In contrast, the male inventors, the degree of collocation decreases continuously with age. So this is, again, consistent with women having these geographical frictions potentially related to family consideration. We try to explain what is driving this. We find the same pattern when we look at new inventors versus repeat inventors. We then also try to look at potentially what it may be happening is that female inventors are sorting themselves into industry clusters where there is density of inventors and they can find the optimal team nearby. So we're going to look at what happened in these top industry clusters. So where are the inventors? I showed you that patents are becoming more geographically dispersed. However, when we look at the top clusters for each technology, based on, and we're going to look at the top 10 cities by patent count that also has some specialization in patenting, what we find is still the case that there is high concentration of inventors in this top cluster. More than 50% of the patents continue to be in these top clusters. And actually, over time, there is a small decline in the share of patents in clusters, which suggests that the patents that I showed you before about the very large increase in the number of multi-city patents may be due to inventors in different clusters trying to connect. All right? Now, here is the first set of evidence that because there is a lot of density of inventors in clusters, teams are going to be much more collocated for both female and male inventors in those top clusters. For example, if you look at the share of collocation with the team, it's 71% in top cluster versus 58% in the non-top cluster, a 13 percentage point difference. As expected, we're also going to see a higher presence of women in top clusters since I can find those inventors nearby, those collaborators nearby. However, even if there is an improvement, for example, in top clusters, the female share of inventors is 13% versus 11% in the non-top cluster, it still is very far from parity. So it seems that still women are not choosing location optimally. We should see more women in these clusters in order to counteract the geographical frictions. Here is when we estimate the model is exactly what I showed you in the top clusters, inventors much more collocated than the non-top cluster, but still there is a positive collocation gap between the female and the male inventors, even in these top clusters. What we haven't fully explored in the paper is the within inventor dynamics. What is driving these patterns? And it may be two explanations. One is that imagine a female inventor that suddenly has family considerations. She may try to switch from a multi-city patent to single location patents, but we don't find evidence of that. And the reason may be because it's very difficult to adjust your team. Think about, there is the papers from authors here in this room about team-specific capital, so this makes it very hard for you to find another team. Also because a project may be associated with multiple patents, so for me to find now a team that is more collocated could mean that I have to pivot to different projects, to different areas, and that's hard to do. Instead, and it's my last 30 seconds, what we find is that females are going to, that early in their careers, engage in these multi-location patents, are going to be more likely to exit patenting to these frictions and due to the fact that they cannot adjust the team. What this means for the work from anywhere debate is that in order for people to work from any city, from time to time, they will have to collocate face to face. And that requires traveling, temporary geographical proximity. And in this project, we showed you that that's going to be more difficult for female inventors and in general for inventors that are facing family obligations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you first and foremost to Mercedes for a super interesting paper that got me thinking about a lot of interesting things, as you'll see in a moment. It's a delight again to be here.
10 minutes.
10 minutes, yes, great. Okay, so the, or perhaps at least a motivation for this paper, I think is a super interesting graph from earlier work that Mercedes and Fiona did as a part of this agenda. And so just, this is not from their paper as evidence, this is me drawing on my laptop, but I replicated it the best I could just to be clear. So over the past, you know, over this 15-year span, kind of moving through the interesting trends. One is that the female share of the STEM bachelor supply, labor supply, is relatively stable. Now that's super interesting in and of itself, but not something we're like really gonna think about for the moment. The particularly interesting thing is that the female share of STEM PhDs has grown by about 10 percentage points over this period. Whereas, you know, and if we think of this as kind of a stepwise process of humans moving through bachelor's, PhDs, and then some fraction becoming inventors, we don't see some kind of growth that one might expect in the share of new inventors that are female. Now, of course, like, we should expect some lag because you have to do a PhD, and then, you know, Joel's talk in the 2 days yesterday was all about it. There's a lot of learning and skills that need to develop in between PhD and inventor, but perhaps the 3 percentage point gain is not enough, and there's some frictions or something going on there that's sort of filtering this out. And one high level thing just to say is one thing I like about this general agenda of Mercedes is the sort of trend of education economics and innovation economics starting to merge, which I think is super exciting. And so more like people moving further backward into the, you know, high skilled training labor supply and connecting that to inventions is, I just think, a very promising and exciting place to be. Just to summarize again the paper, I think, again, like the core idea of this is a very nice one in our world of like not being sure what words mean. This is a nice thing to study because collaboration has a very fundamental economic meaning of it. Like in my head, it's a merger. Two producers are deciding to merge and produce a thing. And so the choices about inventors of who they collaborate with is going to reveal differences. The way different inventors choose to collaborate or merge is going to reveal differences in the way that they experience the costs and benefits of that merger. And we're going to, Mercedes is going to estimate regressions that look like that right there, which is what she showed. And the thing they're going to see in all the different specifications is that a positive effect, which is going to tell us that conditional on these fixed effects and conditional on team size, female inventors are more co-located, they're more close geographically speaking with their team, and that differential is moderated intuitively but clearly by things that we expected to moderate, including age and the features of a cluster, a technological cluster. Now, as context, I've developed a rule of thumb of engaging with regression formulas lately, which is either, it's like very blunt force, but it's kind of like, if you're gonna live in a world with controls, put in all the controls. Like, get them all in there and go crazy. Use the ML, state of the art of the day, and live a life of conditional independence. The other world, which I was taught by Zvi, is no controls. And this came from my life of trying to estimate production functions and reading, you know, Grillicke's Marais 1986 and realizing the downsides of putting panel fixed effects in producers' production functions and you're identifying off of very weird slices of the data. So that those two things in my mind have now led me to, like, anytime I see controls now, Zvi has told me to take them very seriously. And looking at this, the thing that jumped out to me was this team size control, thinking like, okay, it's very intuitive as to, like, when I first read, I was like, of course we want to control for that. But I think that there's interesting variation in there, and that's maybe not something we want to necessarily control for. And so because Patton's view is just so wonderfully easy to use, I just quickly downloaded the data and made a graph. And just, so this graph is the team size of the inventors, which is what is the control, and the y-axis is the share, the female share of the team. Now, there is a correlation here, based on the general takeaway of the paper, I thought it went one way, and then I made the graph, and it goes the other way. Now, I went back and reread the paper, and Mercedes, this statistic is in the paper. Women work in larger teams. Now, I didn't know that, but read through a lens of like women are geographically constrained, I didn't really think this, but that is indeed the case. And so I think maybe trying to set up a regression where you can actually, like this is a part of the collaboration choices, how many people you work with, which is also gonna be driven by geographical constraints. And so I think you can directly test for the role without having to remove that interesting variation. And I kind of outlined here, the general idea would be, let's make a big matrix of every possible inventor, setting aside the difficulties of defining what's a possible inventor, measure the distance between them, and then make just like a pair level data set, and then regress, like, did these people work together as a function of how far apart they are? Interact that with, you know, are they both female, are they both male, or are they different genders? And I think those interaction terms would tell you very interesting things that don't really condition on team size. Now, to the last point, like, how to think about team size and composition at the same time, I don't know. My jet lag brain couldn't figure out anything useful on that front, but I think doing something like this at least lets them be jointly determined in a way that could be interesting. Okay, so back to the graph. Again, Pat's view is amazing, and so I had, of course, not just application data, but we had all the outcome data. Was the grant, was that application approved? How many times was it cited, et cetera? And I decided to make some more graphs. So this is, I split the same graph I showed you before, now based on whether or not it was approved. Now, some, many, all of you might have known, that I had not internalized this, that patents with more women on the team are less likely to be approved. And the interesting thing is that the gap in terms of the female share of the patent between approved and not approved grows as the team gets bigger. It almost doubles, right? So that was an interesting thing. And this pattern holds mostly-ish. If you look at, Ben's had top 5% the other day, and so I was like, okay, let's go with top 5 percentile of citations. And it's a similar pattern, although you do see at the end, there's actually top, there's more when the female share of the top 5 percentile patents is actually higher than those in the bottom. But it's, for everything else, the pattern reflects that of the approval penalty. So then I think the next thing that, and the authors like mentioned in the paper, that, and I know Mercedes for sure is going down this road of thinking about how these things translate into outcomes, but I think an interesting question is then thinking about how much of some of these differentials I just showed can be explained by the different ways that men and women search for and choose to collaborate with each other. And so just to get us started at that, one way to think about this is to run regression at the patent level. Forgive my, there shouldn't be an I on that subscript at the end, I messed that up. But if you regress the outcome on the female share, just like unconditionally, but then you added in team size and allowed that to have a moderating effect on via the female share of the patent, does that change the effect of the female share on the outcome? Can we explain some of that variation? Now, again, like I thought that would explain some of it. Now, I did this like very quickly, so I'm not claiming these results are like absolutely true, but at a first glance, the alpha coefficient you get in both of these regressions is negative. There is a female penalty, as I just showed you in the graphs before, but it doesn't change at all. So that was interesting fact number one. Now, did I not set the sample right? Perhaps, like there's some things, but that seems like an interesting, the null change there is interesting. And the second thing that's very interesting is that you see the team size positive premium, like bigger team patents are more likely to get approved and have more sites, but the female share of the team like almost perfectly offsets that premium. And so as the team gets bigger, if there's more women on that team, the benefits from that larger team appear to be entirely offset in the opposite direction. Again, these are like equilibrium outcomes, but just like there's interesting things going on here in how all of these different choices are related. So my last thing just to start to wrap up is to think about, and I know this is still work in progress, and something I was struggling with, I think is the great agenda that Mercedes and Fiona and everyone is going down, is how to start to wrap all these facts together. So I think I sort of had, you know, at first I had facts 1, 2, and 4 in my head. So like STEM PhDs grew much faster than inventors, so they're some kind of bottleneck perhaps. Women appear to sort into organizations, so women are like choosing to optimize around some perceived differences in the costs and benefits of collaborations. And jumping to 4, conditional on team size, women invent with other inventors that are closer to them. Now, at first, I kind of always have some Ben Jones theory like creeping into my head about something, and I love the knowledge trap idea and was starting to think like, well, is there some disincentive from like searching out for teams because it's going to be harder and you know everybody has low preferences and so you only work with people around you or something like that. But I think that sort of theory would predict that women would still have smaller teams because they wouldn't be able to break through the like the equilibrium of that holdup problem that arises. But women do invent in larger teams, so that doesn't totally fit. But the closest thing I can start to get here is some model where there's if we put all of the action on the cost side, which is not an insane place to start, I don't think. This is a world where there are larger search costs, but conditional on matching the coordination costs of working with people in teams is perhaps smaller when there are more women involved. I don't know, but I think these would be interesting areas to push forward. And with that, I'll say thanks again to Mercedes for a super interesting paper.
Thanks very much, Kara.
Well, we find, actually, we thought, where is Kyle? That one way women can respond to these geographical frictions when they have family obligation is to reduce the team size, but actually that is not happening. So there is, you know, we tend to assume that it's very easy to chain teams. This is very easy in academia. But once you look at firms, it's much harder to do that, and I think we need to understand that better. But the comment is fantastic. Also, all the patents here are granted. But I love this idea to further understand granted versus just file and how that relates also to this dynamic. So thank you very much, and also for all the other great comments.
Okay, so I'm going to collect questions and then you can reply in one shot.
Retrouvez tous les contenus du Collège de France sur www.college-de-france.fr.